Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22 and Text 10. Please repeat after me. Anadi avidya yuktasya purusasyatma vedanam svatona sambhavar anyas tatvajno jnanato bhaved. Anadi, without beginning, avidya, with ignorance, yuktasya, who is joined, purushasya, of a person, atmavedanam, the process of self-realization, svataha, by his own ability, nasambhava, because it cannot occur, anyaha, another person, tatvajnana, tatvajnana, the knower of transcendental reality, jnanada, the bestower of real knowledge, bhavet, must be. Please repeat. Because a person who has been covered by ignorance, since time immemorial, is not capable of effecting his own self-realization, there must be some other personality who is in factual knowledge of the absolute truth and can impart this knowledge to him. Translation and purport by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although the Lord tolerates different methods of calculating material causes within the effects and material effects within the causes, there cannot be any speculation regarding the two spiritual elements found in this universe, namely the individual soul and the super soul. Lord Krishna clearly states in this verse that the living entity is incapable of effecting his own enlightenment. The Supreme Lord is Tatvajnana, omniscient, and Jnanada, the spiritual master of the entire universe. Sri Uddhava mentioned that some philosophers describe 25 elements and others 26. The difference is that the 26 elements include a separate category for the individual soul and the Supreme Soul. Lord Krishna, whereas the proponents of 25 elements artificially merge the two transcendental energy categories of Jiva, Tattva and Vishnu Tattva, hiding the eternal supremacy of the personality of Godhead. Knowledge based on the three modes of material nature cannot rise with the transcendental platform, where the personality of God is the supreme enjoyer, eternal spiritual varieties of form, color, flavor, musical sounds and loving affairs. Mundane philosophers simply bounce back and forth between material enjoyment and material renunciation. Being victims of Mayavada, impersonal perception of the absolute truth, they cannot achieve the shelter of the personality of Godhead and thus cannot understand him. Because foolish impersonal philosophers consider themselves supreme, they are unable to appreciate that loving service exists on the spiritual realm or platform. Stubbornly rejecting subservience to the personality of Godhead, the impersonalists are eventually overwhelmed by the illusory potency of the Lord and undergo the miseries of the material existence. Vaishnavas, on the other hand, not envious of the personality of Godhead, they gladly accept his shelter and supremacy. And thus the Lord personally takes charge of his devotees and enlightens them, filling them with his own transcendental bliss. Spiritual service to the Supreme Lord is in this way free from the disappointment of and repression of material service. Om Jnanatim Rundasin Yananjana Shlakir Chakshurun Matena Sakshurun Jeevan Renam Om Svulaya Stapstar Guru Simjaya Pudara Swami Nidhanam Yamachara Pradayam Thakir Pabradayam Govarkar Damdayam Agaragadamathari Namo Om Svulaya Stapstar Guru Simjaya Vakti Vedanda Swami Nidhanam Namaste Sarasthavi Devi Gauravani Pachani Nirvishishu Sunil Vasathya Dishtam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Grada Shvasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna. Now we are in the chapter called Elements of Material Creation. This is a it's not fair to say, for many will say it's got a dry sort of a chapter, because it's the discussion on elements, material elements. Now, a Purana has got Pancha Lakshana. The five decorations in a Purana. So, in this, what are the five decorations? The first one is called Sarga, which means creation. It's going to be a difficult lecture. We'll try and, we can't joke about this class, can't tell stories, but we will try in between. But it's I want you to understand, but it's very important. You understand what this whole thing is about. I don't know what previous speakers have spoken. So, Panjalakshana means the Prana must have Sarga, that means first creation, when the whole thing came about. Pratisarga, which is secondary creation, that is Brahma's creation. He looks at, he doesn't know what's happening, and then he gets knowledge, then the 14 planetary systems down, and then all the living entities he creates. That is Pratisarga. Then comes what is known as Manvantara. Manvantara is period, eras, or time period between two Manus is called Manvantara. So what happens between this Manu and the next Manu? That period. And then comes the dynasties. The solar dynasties and the lunar dynasties. They were the original rulers of this whole world. So whichever country today, whether it's Japan or Korea or whatever country, Thailand or Malaysia, Indonesia, whatever, the world, you can actually connect, if there is, they can connect to this, the royal dynasties, the Surya Vamsa and Chandra Vamsa. In the east, they all pray to the sun. Japan, the sun is the emblem in their flag itself. And the Meiji Emperor is coming under the solar dynasty, actually. And according to our Shastra, of course, the solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty, all these fellows are finished, and they're all in Himalayas, waiting for the next Satya Yuga to come. When the next Satya Yuga comes, these fellows will come down and start the dynasties again. This is our belief. Now back to the story. So that is Manvantara, then that is royal genealogies and all that. And then, we have what is known as Vamsanu Charita. In the Vamsas, important personalities, not only the kings, we read about the kings and also important personalities and what they did. That's very important. Now, Purana means Srimad Bhagavatam, Amalam Puranam. The only thing, when you say Purana, though there are 18 Puranas, when you say Purana, it means Bhagavatam. Because it has got all five. It has got everything complete, full. Others might have one, might not have the others. So when you talk about any other Purana, you have to qualify by saying Vishnu Purana, Skanda Purana, Padma Purana, whatever. But when you say the Purana, means Bhagavatam. Now, in the Bhagavatam style is, things don't go in chronological way, the way we study history. It doesn't go like that. 2000 years before Christ, and then Christ, and then Buddha, and then Christ, and then like that. We study history like that. The Bhagavatam style is different. Does not go chronologically. You'll talk about creation. In the fifth canto, we discuss so much the creative impetus. The Lord, the explanation of creation is so much in detail here. Now, why suddenly Uddhava is talking to, for newcomers, they may be a bit confusing, but I'll try my best. Here, Uddhava is talking about something, and suddenly he's talking about creation. And scholars think that the style is no good. Ah, this is not, what is this? You talk about this, and suddenly talk about creation, and suddenly talk about a king. I'll give you So Prabhupada says, history is chronological nonsense. What is this so-called chronology? You read about, you want to read about Hitler? What for? Who are these guys? All of them atheists. Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, Hitler, all these people just killers. They killed millions of people. They millions of people could have been saved if they had some idea about God. Now, Prabhupada is very angry because he says this is chronological nonsense. By reading about these characters, what is the use? Okay, I'll give you a quick one. Let's break from the... Oh, this is my problem. Anyway, we are in Victoria. We are in a place called Melbourne. Have you ever cared to find out what is the history of Victoria and Melbourne? Victoria, of course, Queen Victoria. She was a young girl when she was a queen. Melbourne, Lord Melbourne, was the Prime Minister. And they had a small little going on for some time. That's the history. Of course, much later she married, she got a king and whatever. And then, of course, two months ago, it was in the Discovery Channel, one of those places, they found out that Queen Victoria, in her older age, when she was old, she had an Indian lover. So Indians can be very happy that, you know, she had an Indian lover too. And the name of the guy in his pictures and all, of course they removed it, a lot of things have been removed. But what is the use of reading about this kind of kings? And we have Janaka, we got Yudhishthira, we got... You read about these people, and then that becomes important for you to, at least you can't be them, but at least emulate some of these qualities. So that is the whole reason. So now again, back to this. This chapter is talking about the elements of material creation. Suddenly, Krishna is talking about creation to Uddhava, with all elements. Now that is called elements of creation. That is called, and to count them. That's the whole thing is here, it's counting. 24, is it 24? He's asking, is it 15? Is it 16? And that goes on. Uddhava is asking, what is the count? This is called Sankhya. Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya. Sankhya means to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. So, Krishna says different people count differently. They are all acceptable. He says very clearly here, I accept the conclusions as authoritative. Because a logical explanation can always be given for each one of the different theories. Now, do not fall into the trap. When Krishna says, you can accept everything, does not mean you can accept everything. Now, as usual, I'm confusing you again. Krishna says one thing, I say another thing. No. When there are so many people saying so many things, we don't accept. For instance, let's talk about today's world's greatest scientist, Stephen Hawking. This guy is on a, I don't know how many of you know about him, Stephen Hawking. He sits on a wheelchair, can't speak, but he's got some kind of contraption and, you know, he goes on, I don't know how he speaks, but somehow or other, his thoughts come out and then they put it out and he's talking about creation, he's talking about universe and he's the expert. Today, he's supposed to be the expert. I mean, that's science. You have to know. See, Bhagavatam, Krishna consciousness is not for a stupid person. People think that we might be practicing something silly. That is not true. And especially those who are preaching, you have to know all this. And how this can be connected to today's world. Stephen Hawking, you know, he's the greatest scientist. And he is telling the world how creation took place. Now the other guy is Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is not a scientist, but he's a fantastic speaker. You can go, YouTube, Richard Dawkins. His job is just to blast God. He wrote the book, The God Delusion. He's a number one seller. The whole world is reading it. And the whole world is appreciating it. All he says is there's no God. That's what he's saying. And if you look at it today, Europe, almost 80% don't believe in God. In Britain, it's about 50% who don't believe in God. In America, it's about 30-40% who don't believe in God. Or even, you know, this is going totally out of control. Both these guys, Stephen Hawking and Richard Dawkins, both of them are atheists. There's one more guy called Carl Sagan. I don't know whether you guys remember, because those days, when we were small, there used to be a film called The Cosmos, A Personal Voyage. I don't know how many of you remember. And we used to run to the telly when we were young because he takes you every week from one planet to another planet on a spaceship. And of course, those days, that was like, you know, of course, today's graphics in Avatar and all that is so advanced. But those days, that graphics are supposed to be fantastic. So, but Carl Sagan says one thing. When he was asked, are you a believer? Do you, you know, are you an atheist? He said, no. He said, I'm not an atheist. Because if you're an atheist, you've got a lot to explain, he said. But he said, I'm an agnostic. That, you know, I believe in some kind of power. Then he asked, when asked about, you know, what about religion and all, he said, the greatest challenge religion will have is explaining the universe, which is very, 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 very old. This universe is so old. All these religions, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, the main religions, they're talking about this universe being created about 5,000 years ago. I mean, at the same time, they have Jurassic Park. And you ask, what is the Jurassic Park, Jurassic period, which is 200 million years ago and all that. They talk about that kind of thing. And then they talk about creation in 5,000 years ago. And you know, it becomes, so people don't believe. Because creation is, in the Bible, in the Quran, or in the Torah, is very, very, very minimal. So people don't accept it. But Carl Sagan says this, the only religion that comes close to science, as far as creation is concerned, Bhagavatam. He mentions Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, because, I mean, we don't have to be happy because the scientist agrees with us. Of course, we can shake hands. But if they don't agree with us, we don't care. Why is, like Richard Dawkins writes a book, Denying God. That's his job. He goes onto the stage. He's a very powerful speaker. And he denies God. But what is the use? What about the social evils? People are fighting, husband and wife. Today they say, I love you, you love me, and oh, your face is like the moon, and your face is like watermelon. And the next minute, knives at each other's neck. Come on, Richard Dawkins, my challenge to you. Why don't you write a book to prevent all the social evils? Social evils, husband and wife fighting, drug, alcohol problems. If you want, come and sit with me, I'll show you all the problems. Why do you write a book? What is the use of your book? Just denying God? What is the benefit? At least with God, maybe some fellows will be scared and follow some rules. You're actually even making it worse. You're not contributing. You may be very proud with your eloquence. And, of course, Carl Sagan, you know, he married 6 times. He was looking for happiness. By the time he wanted to marry the 7th one, he died. And so, these are the things, like saying, okay, Stephen Hawking, whatever, he's sitting in his wheelchair, and his wife employed a lady to look after him. After some time, the lady, of course, you know, this guy is filthy rich. He's the world's greatest scientist, he's got millions of pounds. And then she said that he's my husband. And he just kicked the other wife out. So, you can understand that, you know, they can talk so much. They can talk so much about what's happening, they can't even understand what's happening close by. They can't even understand simple things like sense control and mind control. So, we have to know that when Krishna says you can accept, you're not supposed to accept all these people. The difference in opinion is already there in the Vedas. This is what I'm coming to. That's called the 6 systems of philosophy. It's a huge subject. We're not going to deeply involve in this, but we will just mention 1 or 2 lines about each of the 6 systems. Because you can deny God. The Vedas allow you to deny God, but using the books that are already there. The books are divided as Astic and Nastic. Astic means which are not challenging towards the Vedas. And Nastic means they are openly hostile towards the Vedas. For instance, Buddhism and Jainism, though they have so many similarities, are considered Nastic, heterodox. In English, orthodox and heterodox. Orthodox means following whatever principles. So what happens is, in the 6 systems of philosophy, the first one is called Nyaya. Nyaya means they are all trying to tell you how the whole universe came out. Nyaya is by Gautama, it's logic, you can say, by induction. And Nyaya is, they say, the cause of the universe is atom. Atom is the cause. Vaisheshika by Kannada is a combination of atoms is the cause of this union. The third one is Sankhya, Kapila. Sankhya, he counts all the material elements. So he says material nature, because he's only concentrating on the material nature. He says material nature is the cause. He ends there. Then comes yoga, which there is Patanjali, which says that consciousness is the cause, because he's practicing all these different kinds of things, and finally realizes the super soul within him. Then comes Karma Mimamsa. Karma Mimamsa is by Jaimini. Karma is the cause. In a nutshell, like, if I do good, I get good. If I do bad, I get bad. So, I'll do good. What about God? God is not necessary. Hey, I'm doing good, man. So what? Come to the temple, what for? I'm good. So God is not, that's Karma Mimamsa. And Purva Mimamsa, the last one, that is what we are studying, Vedanta. Now that says Brahman is the cause. Of course, the impersonalist says impersonal Brahman is the cause. And we say that the impersonal Brahman is not the highest. Of course, Krishna behind everything is the highest. And Krishna is actually the Brahman. Isn't it? So that we think. So this is how the six systems work. So you can use the Vedas to deny God, but you can't use. So somebody might say, that's not fair. You fellows say no God with your books, that is allowed, but with our books, it's not allowed. Isn't it? A Buddhist and a Jain can say, how come you can use your book and say no God? When we use our books and say no God, you don't allow. Because if you say no God according to these books, there is hope for you. With those books, okay, no hope. That's the end. That's it. You know, there is no end. That's all. No. Because here, while you're reading it, the words will be there. So many things will be mentioned. And your curiosity will be kindled more and more that you have to go higher now. Even if you become an impersonalist, still there is hope for you to become a personalist. Become a pure devotee of the Lord and get away with it. Okay, I hope you've understood something here. This is a bit difficult. So that is about the six systems of philosophy, which we have to know. It was Prabhupada said that anybody who sits in the Vyasasana should know what the six systems are. Now let us come to the Vedic understanding. Now this is very interesting and this is very important. This is the sum and substance of the whole thing. So what happens is, the Vedic system is, they talk about Achit, Chit and Ishvara, which means, Achit means matter, Chit means Jiva, and Ishvara means God or controller. So, in the Vedic system, if you talk any philosophy, we must discuss matter, spirit and controller. If you only talk about matter and spirit without controller, not accepted. If you talk about spirit and controller with no mention about matter at all, it's also not accepted. Or you talk about matter alone with spirit. That is, spirit means you and I, the living entities. That is also not accepted. They say no, it has to have. Otherwise, no standard. They won't even discuss with you, it's a waste of time. Because cause and effect, they do it simply. If there is a cause, there is an effect. And if there is an effect and cause, and the Vedas say the cause and effect is the same. So we can have differences of opinion, not only here, even in ISKCON there is differences of opinion. For instance, origin of the soul. Like, I'm not going to go there, but I'm just saying that until, you know, they came out of the whole book, Origin of the Soul. But what I'm saying is that the cause and effect is the same. If atom is the cause, ultimately the effect is also atom. Now coming back here, so Achit, Chit and Ishvara, so matter, spirit and controller. How do you understand? Matter is unconscious, it's dead. It's not dead, we don't say dead. Matter is unconscious. Now spirit is trapped, it's conscious, but is trapped. Now,
The Ishvara, or the control of God, He is supremely conscious. He is not only conscious about Himself, He is conscious about everything that's happening in the entire universe. So that's how it is. It's conscious, unconscious, conscious, and superconscious, you can say. Now, matter is in ignorance. So that's how it is. So we have to look, the Veda says, look at matter neutrally. You have to be neutral towards matter because it's ignorant. It's like a child, you know, you're neutral, you know, child can do anything, go do this, go do that. We just say don't do it, that's all. We don't punish the child because the child doesn't understand. So similarly, you have to be neutral towards matter, but you have to be compassionate towards spirit. Why? Because spirit is trapped. Yuga Dharma, why are we doing Yuga Dharma? Because you want to give this compassion to the jib jago. Don't get trapped, get out of it. Why are we distributing books? Here's the message. Get this. And why we distribute prasadam? Why do we have temples? All this is because of compassion. So, with spirit, you have to be compassionate. And then, with the Ishvara, the controller, you have to have love. Okay? Now, that's what the Veda says. Now, let's see why we have to do all this. Somebody might say, okay, you know, maybe you like to do it, we don't like to do it. Why? You have to understand. So scientists explain, they are only describing about the material energy. The earlier guys, like Sankhya, who also counted elements, he's like a modern day scientist. He can be equivalent to Stephen Hawking. That's how it is. He was just counting the elements and how it came about. Now, they are not discussing anything about Ishvara. That's why in Prabhupada's class, always he will say, when he talks about Sankhya, he will say the Kapila is the founder, but he says atheistic Kapila and Devahuti Kapila. Devahuti Kapila is an incarnation of the Lord Himself. But when we talk about here Sankhya six systems, and that particular atheistic Sankhya system is by the atheistic Kapila. So we have to understand that. So they are talking about material energy, but they are not talking. All the laws you studied in physics, you know, gravity, Newton's and thermodynamics, whatever you have studied, all that is how the material nature is working. They are only talking about that. Now, there are certain philosophies which explain religion without God. For instance, Jainism, they will talk about religion. Their principles are very high. But their questioning is like this. They say, how can you say that the world was produced by God? This is their questioning. They say, if you want to create the universe, you need the ingredients to create. So the question is, if God wanted to create the universe, then the ingredients, so where did the ingredients come from? They're very happy with that. Oh my God, where did they get the ingredients? That is the first question. Who created the ingredients? So you see how they deny God. That is their logic. So who created the ingredients? Then finally they ask, who created God? Okay, even if we accept that, who created God? So if there is a God, then somebody must, you only say cause effect. You say if there is a pot, then there must be a pot maker. If there is a, you know, okay, if this, then somebody made this. If there is a watch made in Japan, Seiko, Korea, whatever. So, you said that cause and effect. If that is true, then who made God? But the definition of God is that he has no maker. That's the definition. What is the definition of mother? Mother means you've got a child. I want to have a mother without a child. How can you have a mother without a child? The definition. You say, okay, fire. I want a fire, but there should be no heat. There should be no flame. That's not the dharma of fire. Fire means that comes. You have the whole nine yards. Oh, you say, I want water, but it should not be wet. It can't be. That's not a definition. When God means, He creates everything, but He is not created. That's the definition of God. Look, I can't understand. That's a different story. But the definition of God is like that. You can't understand. We'll put some mustard oil in your head and then we'll rub it. We'll put you upside down and sit and chant Hare Krishna. You will understand. That's another story. But right now, this is there. So that's how they will. Now, Buddhists, how they disputed. The Buddhists say, you've got created this world. We see so many bad things happening, isn't it? We see so many things. Go to Swanson Street, you can see everything happening there. So, if so many bad things are happening, and if God is not doing anything, every day people are complaining, you know, this one, that one, rape, this, that, and not God is not doing anything, then is God weak? He's not doing anything about it. You see, he can't alleviate the suffering. Or if he chooses not to do, I am powerful, but I don't care, you will suffer. That means it's very bad. So what is the power, what is the use of a bad and weak God? Brahm keeps this way, so we don't want this God, so remove it. But the point is, they have cosmology, they'll talk, if you go to a Brahm, you go to a Buddhist temple, they will talk cosmology. Not 14 planetary system, they'll talk about 24, 18, depending on which temple where. And they'll show Brahma with 18 heads or whatever. They take it out from the Vedic system, and then there is concoction. So even you go, they get confused. Hey, what is this? You know, there will be Durga, there will be, everything will be there, but it will all be upside down. So, the cosmology and the whole thing is taken and twisted. So, and that's why, you know, the whole conflict. Now, even in other religions, of course, you know, if you go to the Bible, Christians and all that, they also question all this. For instance, creation, the Lord created for 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. The Bible says, Hare Baba, you know, he had to work 7-6 days and one day rest. Even I get 2 days rest. People might say like that, oh, what is this? You know, this is so stupid. How can, what is this? God creating for 6 days and resting for all this, you know, they're thinking that all these are rational questions. And they had come out with rational answers. And also, in the Bible, for instance, or in all the major, like Judaism and Christianity and Islam, where Satan is very powerful. You know, you it's unbelievable. They come to the children's ward, you know, some of these people, and then when the child is having a fit or something like that, oh, Shaitan, Shaitan, they'll say, oh, Shaitan has gone in. That's all. Very simple for them. Everything is Satan. Very simple. Either it's God or Satan. That's all. If you say this, you're okay. If you say that, you're dead. So they say, if God is all powerful, then why allow Satan to roam around like that? Come on, take a 6-6-1 and then shoot him. Kill him off. And then no problem. No Satan, no problem. So why doesn't he do that? So these are the rational questions they ask. But in the Vedic, now we'll have to come to the Vedic understanding of all this I'm talking about, and I'm coming to the big one. This is the killer. Now, the Vedic system, as far as in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, Brahma Sutra Padaschaiva Hetu Madvin Vinischitai, he says that. In the Brahma Sutra, it's all there, the cause and effect and everything is begin of this universe and creation, all that. So that is already mentioned. Krishna himself mentions that the authority for us is the Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra. Now, what happens is, this Sankhya system is called like a prison cell. Sankhya is like a prison cell. Suppose you are in the prison. Now, what is the use if you keep counting, you know, like, what is the height, what is the width, what is the breadth, where do I sit, where is the door? You keep on counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So, the Vedas are very clear to get out of, look, the children should be out, you know, this is, see, hello, Mataji, they can't talk like that, that disturbs the class. We have to take them out. So, when you start counting, so to get out of matter, the Veda says, you have to study matter. You have to study matter. If you don't study matter, how can you get out? You can't get out. But it says, matter is ignorant. It can't help you. If you keep on counting, you'll say, bad, bad. I want to escape, you'll say, bad, bad. Because matter doesn't know. You say, I want to escape. No, you keep counting. They say, isn't it? In English, they say, counting the bus. They say, where's your friend? Oh, he's now counting the bus. Counting the bus means he's in jail. So you'll remember this, you know, counting the bus. Sankhya means counting the bus. You sit there and count how many bars there in the jail. Even if you found out, okay, you think, no, you don't sit there like that. You try to find out how to escape. Okay, you can count the ways of escaping. Through the door, through the ground, through the roof, through the window. You can plan all that. Though you plan all that, still it won't tell you what to do. You can try, but you don't know because the bottom is stuck. Even if you escape through the window, there's a big wall there. You know, all these things, so many problems with that. So, the Vedic system says that studying the material energy alone, achit alone, the prison cell, is not enough. Sankhya is always qualified with yoga, the next one. So only by yoga. And then the Lord very clearly says in Bhagavad Gita 13 chapter 6 and 7, He says about that, the elements, the 24 elements. And He says, you have to, knowing this you can't escape. Just because you know you're in the prison cell, you can't escape. Now you get to get external help. In this verse, that's what the Lord says, because a person has been covered by ignorance, he can't do it himself. Some other personality who's in factual knowledge of absolute truth can impart this knowledge to him. He says, you can't. Suppose you're in a jail, you want to escape from the jail, you don't ask another prisoner, hey, how to escape? How to escape? I am myself stuck. Then how can I teach you how to escape? But if you ask the person who's in charge, the warden or the prison authorities, then they might say, okay, good behavior, and then we will recommend to the authorities, and then maybe a presidential appeal or whatever, and we can get you out. So again, back to this. So here the Lord says, all this counting will not help. And then in 8, He starts the whole thing, the 20 points of knowledge. This is very important. And starts off with amanitvam and adambitvam. That's the first, He says, amanitvam. Amanitvam means, of course, humility. Because in the first place, why are you in this jail? Why in the prison? Because of pride. Because you wanted the service for yourself. You didn't want to be subservient and serve the Lord. He said, look, I want service for myself. And then you're trapped. You come here. Okay, if that's what you want, you go to the material world. So to start off, to undo the whole thing, first one is humility. And then pridelessness. That is adambitvam. And then it goes acharya upasanam. That means going and seeking a guru. And then serving him. And then learning from him the truth. That goes on like that. And then finally it comes to charanya yogena. Charanya yogena, the 20 points. Which means unalloyed devotional service to the Lord, and finally search for the absolute truth. That's how it ends. So these 20 points, though they are considered activities, the field of activities, but the field of activities that itself cannot give liberation. But you have already started the process. The minute you start the process, your shackles are gone. You're already getting ready to get out. Now, in so doing, sometimes what happens is, now, so you can, comparison, okay, I'll come back again to comparison. Sankhya is a prison cell, the yogic process, the 24 points of knowledge, that is the key. The key. You're stuck, there is a big lock there. You have to remove the lock. So now, you've understood there's a lock, you're following the yoga process, the 20 points of knowledge, now you've got the key. The key who gives to you? The key is given to you by a guru, because who can explain to you all this? Achit Chit Ishwara, that this is how it is, this is your real position, why you're trapped, how can you get out? These things are explained. Only the guru explains and gives. Now, watch out. Even though you've got the key, now this is the last snare of Maya. Sometimes the person gets the key, he looks at it, toys around with it, he plays with it, and sometimes he even goes and opens the lock and then takes the key back. Instead of taking the lock out, opening the gate and escaping, he takes the key back and then he says, I'm quite happy here. Why to go? I think prison cell is quite nice. Okay, in a practical example, somebody is in the street, he has a lot of problems, he meets a devotee, he comes to the temple, chants his rounds, 16 rounds, gets up early in the morning, follows all the principles, and is so excited about performing his bhakti, gets initiated, gets a guru. Guru gives him initiation, and that is also given to him. And finally, one day, he's in Swanson Street, gives distributing a book, and one girl comes in this. And that's it. He's gone. He's gone forever. So, even though we have the key, we can still lose it. Mataji, don't be offended. It's the same. And if you are distributing a book, a Prabhu can come and do this. You know, so it's the same. So, what I'm trying to say is here, though, that is the system. So, we are trapped. So, what happens is, this trap, the so-called trap in this material universe, is not by a powerful dictator, a ruthless dictator. It's not that a ruthless dictator has put you and put in this prison. No. In fact, he's most compassionate. And because he's most compassionate, he explains everything. Why you're here? Why is this trap? Why is this disturbance? Why is this agitation? And what you have to do, and come back to me, and be happy forever. So that knowledge is also given, that's what Krishna himself. So that way, what happens is, we follow these things, and we have no confusion, and by following all this, not only you are happy, the people around you are happy, your family is happy, your children are happy, and all the social evils are not there, and thanks to Stephen Hawking or Richard Dawkins, we don't want to listen to you. We are happy this way, we have nice prasadam, we have nice music, we have nice love going around here, and we love it this way. So you have to be very positive about it. You don't have to feel threatened about all the so-called modern scientists. Now, though the Lord says in this particular verse, time is running short. So he says, there is speculation allowed on the matter. He says, I'm allowing you to speculate on matter. No speculation on jivas and the Supreme Personality. Very clearly stated here in Prabhupada's purport. You can't speculate on the position of the jiva and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, that's what happens with Mayavadis, because the last phrase says the Mayavadi perception is that God and the jiva are one. And that leads to a lot of confusion. It's not really confusion, it's a big problem. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavada Bhasha Sunile Sarvahaya Noshnash. If you listen to the impersonal thing, everything is lost. And because they have to undergo the miseries, because they, like here it says in the purport, they don't become subservient to the Lord. They think they themselves are the superpower. They walk around, I am God. They're walking around like that. And because of that, they can't become subservient to the Lord. And because of that, what happened? They're missing out in the loving exchanges with the Lord. Like what we do, make a garland, we put for Krishna, we're so happy, look at Krishna, it's so beautiful. We cook something, we offer to him, and we're so happy. Now they miss out on these loving exchanges. And then they lead a life of very, very difficult material existence. And then ultimately, of course, death finishes them off. Now, if you know that, for instance, even in the Bhagavad Gita, for instance, Arjuna is asking Krishna a lot of questions. And at the end of it, what happens? Does Arjuna say, okay, now my doubts are cleared, now I become one with you. Now you got peacock, I also got peacock. He doesn't say that, let's do the peacock dance. No, he doesn't say that. He says, Nashta Moha. My illusion is gone. Spiriti labdha. I have regained my memory. Karishye vachanam tava. Now tell me what to do. I will do as you please. Not that now that I've got knowledge, let me do what I want to do. Or you go to hell and I'll go to hell. No. That is a, and these people use the same Bhagavad Gita. I don't know how they can understand it. It's so difficult. I mean, you know, it really, once you become a believer, and then you find it so difficult. How in the world can they understand it like this? So, even the great Madhvacharya, Madhvacharya was the greatest of the dualistic theory, you know, the Jiva, and when you talk about Jiva and God, they're different. Madhvacharya, you want to identify him, very simple. How do I identify Madhvacharya? His left hand will be raised, and his two fingers will be out like that. That means, you and God are different. If you want to talk, that's the basis. If you start, if you accept this, then we have a dialogue. Otherwise, don't waste my time. Otherwise, he's Bhishma himself. Sorry, he's Bhima himself. And he'll lift you, and he'll throw you wherever you want. Otherwise, a bit dangerous anyway. So that was, even he was such a powerful, or he was such a powerful debater and all that. Even he, at one time, there was this Mahavadi Sankarites were arguing with him and arguing with him. And it goes on for a goes on for a long time, and finally Madhva gives up. Finally he says, yes, you're right, he says. And all his disciples are shocked. Madhva accepting defeat. I mean, you know, those days, accepting defeat means, then means you're accepting the whole philosophy, you become his disciple and you follow him. Today, of course, anybody will say anything and walk away. They'll say this, that, and that, finally prove everything he says wrong. Ah, you guys, you know, you got an answer for everything. That's all. You got an answer for everything. What about finish? But those days not like that. You accept defeat, you're finished. That means you have to accept his philosophy and you become his servant. So the whole hall was shocked. What happened? How did Madhva lose the whole game, you know? And then he says, yes, you're right. They were talking merging. You know, ultimately it merges into Brahma Jyoti. He said, yes, you're right. The evidence is there in the fifth chapter of the Brahma Sutras. So, then the whole audience laughed. Of course, you're not laughing because you've not read the Brahma Sutras. Because the Brahma Sutras is only four chapters. There is no fifth chapter in the Brahma Sutras. So he said, because it's in the fifth chapter. So, now talking about Madhva, I'd like to finish with a little bit of Madhva. Madhvacharya was very, very, of course, you know, we are known as Brahma Madhva by Brahma Madhva. Brahma Madhva Gaudi Sampradaya. That's right. So we come under the Madhva Sampradaya too. So we have to know some things about Madhvacharya, who lived for about 8 years. He's from a place called Udipi. This is where this great Krishna temple is. The beautiful temple. I studied very close to this temple. And I used to go there very often, but I didn't know that time what is this whole thing. I love the temple, but I didn't know about the greatness of the Lord. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes two important teachings from Madhvacharya. One is that the deity form Krishna is the truth. That he's very strict about it. Madhva doesn't play Vishnu, this, that and all that. No. Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. No doubts about it. The other thing is the Mayavada Khandana. The heavy preaching against Mayavada philosophy by Madhva was accepted by Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. These two things was taken from there. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as being God, he could have come into any of the four sampradayas, but he chose to come under this sampradaya as a special tribute to Madhva himself. Now, in Madhva's line, what happens is, Madhvacharya's guru is known as Achyuta Preksha. Now, he had a guru in his time. This guru was 90 years old when he called Achyuta Preksha and told him, for 80 years, because those days, Bhasha means Shankara Bhasha, there's no other commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, anything to do, everything is what he says, because it's soon after the Buddhism and all that. So, the way that, you know, Buddhism came in because of the ritualistic aspect of Hinduism and, okay, that's another story. So what happens is, he tells him, He tells his death. For 80 years, I have spread this message. And he said, I'm dying now. I am not God, you're not God. He is realizing in his deathbed, though they all come under Advaiti school, they dare not, those days they can't even openly say anything about being a personalist. You know, that's like, you know, committing a big crime. So, when Advaita, he said, sir, what do I do? He said, you tell them, you preach to them that this whole philosophy is wrong. So Achyuta Vriksha gets worried. It's like, you know, somebody suddenly, you know, if you ask me to say that, you know, Kamsa is God or something like that, and Krishna is the evil one. What? How am I going to preach that, you know? So he's just, how can I preach that? He's shaking all over the place. Then Achyuta Preksha's guru tells him, don't worry. One of your disciples will do it. Then Achyuta Preksha is still worried. Disciples, I got all these disciples, I know. They can't even bring my prasadam properly. Now how are they going to do all this? So he said, how will I identify him? How will I identify him? And he says, when he comes to you, two great personalities will be behind him. Lord Shiva and Parvati, goddess, both of them will be there behind him. Okay, it's a long story. I have to cut short. What happens is when Madhvacharya was a small boy, he was being very naughty and the father says, okay, go away, you know, go to the temple. So he goes to the Durga temple. Because you're so naughty, go there and maybe Durga will give you some blessings and your naughtiness will go. So she goes to Durga temple and then he goes up there and sees the deity of Durga, 18 hands, all with weapons, sitting on a tiger or lion, whatever. And he prays and then he sees the heart of Durga, he sees Krishna and he pays obeisances to Krishna. And then he gets up and he walks on, 6-year-old boy. So he walks down. And what's happening? Durga is following him. Look at this boy. Such a majestic, cute little boy. He's walking behind him with all the weapons. And the lion is also following behind. And suddenly these guys in the temple, they want to do puja. They say, hey, what happened? Durga is missing. Hey, what happened? So from there he goes to the Lord Shiva temple. And that Shiva temple is a Linga temple. And he prays and he sees the Linga. And he sees Krishna in the Linga. And he pays obeisances to Linga. And then he gets up and he was walking away. And then Shiva also follows him. And then both meet, husband and wife. Hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And they're following him. So they follow him and that's when he comes here. At that time there's a book called, of course, Sariraga Bhashya, Sankaracharya's commentary. And I'm getting confused. Shankara Bhashya. And at that time, there is a book called Ishta Siddhi, which is talking about all this Advaita philosophy that God and you are one, God and you are one. And so there is this confusion going in Achyuta Preksha because the guru told him to explain. And he's reading, and here it says, you and God are one. So he goes on, how can I be one? How can, you know, if I and you are one, then how can I am controlled? You're not controlled. So he's going on like that. And that time the small boy comes there. Why are you so confused? And he shows his two fingers. Just like you and me, they are two. There's no confusion. So Achyuta Preksha is shocked. How can a small boy come and say, you know, put out two fingers? I mean, we can understand small boys come and put out one finger or two fingers, maybe something else. But, you know, he was shocked. This is what is going on in his mind. And this guy comes and says, two man, just like you and me. And then he looks out and he sees at the gate Lord Shiva and Parvati there. And he knows. So quickly gets some candy and gives him candy. He said, how do you know all this? Can you tell me more? Then he says, the Lord is a person and is always a person. The Lord has energies, three energies, Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti and Tadastha Shakti, which you all know. The three energies, but is not covered by it, because the Mahadev philosophy says that, you know, they say that illusion covers the Lord. And he said they're not covered. And then
He says the third one, he says, is that Krishna is the supreme person, and Jiva is different from the Lord. And he says that the Lord is Krishna. So yeah, and then he said, the guy is amazed. How did you know all this? No, it's from the Vishnu Purana. Because you have to understand that Madhvacharya, in his first incarnation, he is Vayu. First incarnation, he was Anuman. And second one was Bhima. And as third one was Madhvacharya. So in their line, you will see that they are praying for all these personalities. So that was how the first meeting took place. And then the second meeting was when he comes much later. He wants to become his disciple. And he's given the name Ananda Tirtha. And the first class on Ishtasiddhi, I'll finish with this, getting late. The first class with Ishtasiddhi, Achyuta Preksha starts off saying that, okay, we'll read the one, invocation. The reading invocation. And he says, Brahman is everywhere. So let us pray obeisance to oneself. So that is the invocation. As soon as he heard that, but Madhvacharya puts up his hand, said, question. He said, hey, wait man, I haven't started the class. It's only invocation. How can you ask a question now? No, this is very important. So he is very angry. He said, what is your question? This book is bogus. Straight away Madhvacharya, this book is bogus. And Ajita Preksha gets very upset, you know. And he tells him, how can you do this? You are disrespecting me. I am the guru and you are the shishya. And how can you disrespect me? They haven't gone to the fact of the case yet. They are talking about disrespect. And straight away Madhvacharya said, you just said that you and I are Brahman. We are one. Then if you and I are Brahman, then what is the question of this disrespect? Boom. He closed the book. He walked out. Because he couldn't answer. And he was going up and down, up and down. He refused to take his prasad. When he is all the devotees and all the, nobody is taking prasad. They're all very worried. And they're going and tell Madhva, what are you doing? They were not worried about their guru. They were worried about their, they want to eat. Because of me, we also can't eat. And so then Madhva scolded them. You guys, you've been listening to this so only. Why didn't you all ask him this question? Nonsense. Get out of my way and all that. And after some time, Madhva said, all right, I'll have to go back. He goes to his guru and pays the obeisance and said, I'm very sorry. I disrespected you and all that. He said, no, this book is bogus. The guru says, this book is bogus. How can I have been teaching all this world like that? And then he asks, tell me, what is it all? He says, Keshava Paradharam Nasti. Krishna alone, everything else is part and parcel. And that's how it's done. Anyway, Madhvacharya's thing is big. It's known as Madhu Vijaya. There is Brihat and Anu. Brihat is like, the whole seven volumes or whatever. Like Prabhupada's Leelamrita, you have got the seven volumes and you've got the abridged version, the black book. I don't know what color it is now. That is my favorite book. That book that turned my life. That small book, Prabhupada. So similarly, his is also, we have the whole version and the abridged version, Anu Madhva Vijaya. And there are so many interesting things because he's a very, very powerful personality. Okay, with this, I will stop here. Any comments, questions, please? Except on origin of the soul. This is, we'll never go home. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry?
What is the origin from where this philosophy is coming in post to Kapila? One is original Kapila, Devudi and Kalamunesa. What is the origin from where exactly this theory is coming in?
From where it is coming? From his head, I think. I don't know. I mean, from where it is coming means all these are thinkers. They all thinkers and they come out. They deny, the atheistic guy, he counts without God. It's all simple, it's counting. Where is he coming? Is he like his origins, who is mother, father and all that?
Yeah. What is the history?
I don't even know my own grandmother, grandfather, where they come from. So you're asking about Kapila. I don't know, Prabhu. I mean, you know, I'm just giving six systems of philosophy. If you ask me why, you should have asked me this one. If Madhvacharya's guru was an Advaita, that means Maya was a philosopher. Then the whole, what happens to our system, isn't it? That'll be a trick question. I'll be caught for it. But it says that, I tried to do some research, it says that he had a sixth guru. His sixth guru was Vyasa, and that way the lineage becomes this way. That's how much I can get. But interestingly, you must understand, Madhva line is Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri's disciple is Ishwar Puri, and he had another disciple called Paramananda Puri. Now this Paramananda Puri is a very, very important person in Lord Chaitanya Leela. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says so many times about if Paramananda, I need to quote that very nicely. He says that he is the only reason for his existence and all that. And it is stated that Paramananda Puri is Uddhava. The discussion today is going between Uddhava and probably in the next class I'll tell you the whole story about how this happened. Uddhava is talking to Krishna here. So Lord Chaitanya had some very nice pastimes, Paramananda Puri. And Paramananda Puri is supposed to be Uddhava. And look, as far as you're concerned, you have to know that that's why they always say atheistic Kapila and Devahuti Kapila. They keep on saying the mother's name. Even, you know, Yashoda Nandan or, you know, so many times they will always talk about the mother, because otherwise there will be so many people who will say, I'm Krishna, you're Krishna. You know, so you have to be Yashoda Nandan, then only you're Krishna. See, the mother is so important. So, anything else? Yes, Madhi. Ask an easy question, please. Especially the questions for which the answers I know. Okay.
Like you were mentioning that for Madhavacharya, his worship of the Lord was always Lord Krishna. He was not confused about Vishnu and all that. But we see in the Madhava Sampradaya also the mood is of awe and reverence. Like I heard the destination for Madhava Sampradaya is not Goloka Vrindavan. That was the exclusive thing which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give to us. So even though they used to worship Krishna, how is it that there was so much of mood of awe and reverence still in their worship?
Well, it's okay. Most importantly, they don't know about Radharani at all in Madhulayam. They don't know. Can you understand that? We talk so much about all of oldest Radharani. If you say Radha, who's she? They don't care. See, Sampradayas have their own thing. Like in Sri Sampradaya, for instance, they wear, even the devotees wear Tulasi Mala. Now that is supposed to be, for us it's supposed to be so offensive. How can you wear Tulasi, you know? Tulasi, only the Lord can be adorned with Tulasi. So there are differences, but you know, so those differences will be there. I won't be able to exactly tell you why this was. They accept the gurus like their teachings. You know, their teaching. For instance, we say Brahma Mohan Leela. We'll say, oh, but Brahma was bewildered and that, this, that, and the other, isn't it? We talk about Narada's bewilderment, we became a monkey and all that kind of thing. They won't. In the Madhva line, if they're reading and they come to Brahma Mohan Leela, they won't read those chapters. They'll turn the pages away. Why? As a mark of respect. But for us, Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, we kick everybody. It's not to, our philosophy is to understand the difference so that we get into the thing. It's all a kind of a culture. It's a culture thing. Hare Krishna.